This is The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. on Canada Talks, SiriusXM 167.
Hello and welcome to The Feed with Amber Mack.
And Michael B. for everything new now and next.
We have you covered for what's happening in the world of tech and what's trending online.
On the show, why Twitter's CEO Jack Dorsey is stepping down once and for all.
Plus, we dive into how Elon Musk is trolling the internet with the company's new whistleblower.
Also on the show, we introduce you to a social network that encourages personal growth.
And we also meet an artist robot who is performing AI poetry.
That's all coming up right here on The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B.
This episode of The Feed is brought to you by Norton, one of the leading consumer cybersecurity brands.
Trending off.
Well, Amber, there's so much news to get to in tech. Lots of people stepping down, stepping up, stepping out. But before we get to that, how are you doing, my friend?
I am doing great. Hard to believe it's already December, and it's been, quite the year. Definitely one for the memory books.
Speaking of memories then, what was your most positive memory for this year? Let's start off on a good note before we get into all the negative news.
Oh, that's a great question. I was listening to a mom who is an opera singer. I can't remember her name, but she was on CBC Radio a little while ago, and she was talking about how typically she was traveling all the time, which was kind of my position when it comes to the work that I do. And now that I'm home all the time, I'm spending more time with my family, which is great. And one of the things she said on the show is that she actually became a much more confident mother. And it really resonated with me because I've never felt so close to my son. And I think that's a really beautiful thing to come out of a time when, we are spending more time together and less time with other people. And I will never take that for granted.
I think that's amazing, actually, because we do take for granted that you actually have to participate in relationships to have relationships. And so this has given people the time to realize the most important relationships you can have are your family. So I think that's great. And you should put as much effort as you do in to your work. And so I think that's fantastic. I hope everybody continues that as well and is able to, because obviously certain circumstances have allowed a lot of people who didn't have that before. Well, it's a lovely note. I hope everyone listening also had some similar experiences this year. Let's get to it. What are people talking about? It's a lot of news in all of the social media platforms.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit of kind of inside baseball in the tech world, but everybody's talking about Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, who is stepping down. He was not only the CEO of Twitter and still is the CEO of Square, which is a payments company. And he did bear a lot of criticism over the past few years because, it's hard to do both of those jobs in a serious way. And many people were urging him to step down and give the opportunity to someone else. And he has done just that. And I think, better late than never. I'm a big Twitter fan. But I think what people were saying is over the past few years, is that Twitter is undervalued in some ways in the sense that its impact is felt worldwide, but it's not really valued at the level that one would expect in terms of the influence that it does have. So it could be a new chapter for Twitter and, especially at a time when a lot of people are incredibly critical about Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is interesting because he was nearly ousted last year and it has been, quite a roller coaster when it comes to the leadership at Twitter. But in fairness, they seem to have weathered the storm better than other social media platforms. Speaking of the Facebook or Meta, one of the Meta executives behind Facebook's cryptocurrency project, if everybody remembers that, they're actually stepping down. That's one piece of news, but also this was interesting too, that the UK competition watchdog has also ordered Meta or Facebook, if you're not familiar with them yet, to sell one of their GIF, however you want to say it, website, Giphy, as well. And I think that we're going to see more regulation rulings like this come through, especially with these large social media companies that seem to own everything and have their tentacles in everything.
Yes. I think you're exactly right. They have a lot of assets, and some people are hoping that we can potentially break them up and it would lead to more competition. And this is just one example of that. So we will keep an eye on what's happening in the world of Meta. Of course, that is now the parent company name of Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and all these other digital assets. And also the dreamers of the metaverse. We can't forget that one, Michael.
The dreamers of the metaverse. And of course, we will follow the Libra project, which is the cryptocurrency project. It's hit a lot of delays and a lot of scrutiny from legislators and regulatory bodies. And it is interesting because we have seen such a roller coaster as well when it comes to cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and those digital currencies. So and they seem to be doing quite well. And you know, we'll just see how much more they get adopted into mainstream.
Absolutely. Okay. So this is this is a really bizarre story. And
I didn't know whether to include this or not. And let them know first, but I don't even know how to address this, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think anytime Elon Musk is in the headlines, he's always in the headlines, but he does get included. At the same time, I think it overshadows some of the good stuff happening in tech. For example, before we get into the story, I will just say that I was reading about the Canva co-founders, a woman and her partner, who are worth billions of dollars. They're based in Australia, and they've announced that they're going to give away the majority of their fortune because they don't want to hoard money. And, you know, what a great example of tech entrepreneurs that represent a new generation of entrepreneurship. So I those stories get missed, unfortunately, because Elon Musk is trolling us. And this is a good example of this. So apparently, I don't even know if what he says is real anymore, or I feel like it's April 1st every day in the Elon Musk metaverse. And he posted a picture of a cyber whistle that has been inspired by the Cyber Truck, which is a truck that Tesla announced not that long ago. And then he tweeted out, "Blow the whistle on Tesla." This is kind of his thing. And when I go to the site, it's a 404, like it doesn't exist. So, I mean, Michael, I don't know what to say. Like
it's so many levels. Well, this is the thing. It's like a responsibility. It's a leadership thing. You have a platform. You have done some very good things in the past, but this alludes and just jokes aside, like in this day and age that we live in, with accountability and doing the right thing. And, you know, is this a dig at whistleblowers within companies that stand up for good, like we've seen with Facebook, and tried to do the right thing and bring it to their attention of their leaders? They ignored them, so had to take matters into their own hands for the greater good. Or, you know, is it, if you read some of these articles, and it's alleged that in recent months, the electric car maker has faced lawsuits over alleged sexual harassment and racist abuse in one of their factories. You know, if that's true, and if it's a dig at that, it doesn't set a very good tone as a leader from a cultural perspective, not only internally within your company, but also, I mean, you've got to take some responsibility. And I mean, as you just said, like, do the right thing, like other tech entrepreneurs and other good leaders that are trying to make a good and real difference. I don't know if I articulated that well, but it just blows my mind that anyone thinks that this kind of joke in the public forum is acceptable. It just doesn't make any sense. And no accountability.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say. We do have to wrap up. So, you know what? We will keep an eye on this and see what happens.
if you know what? And knowing the way the world is right now, probably, like, you know, millions of whistles will be sold if it actually is a thing, which is quite sad. When we return, we meet the founder of a social media app that is working hard to make you feel good. Now,
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Tech Star.
You're listening to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. There are a lot of negative headlines in the news about the toxicity of social media platforms, but there's one startup called Alms. It's focused on real-world impact and positive change. Well, to share how the social app is helping to improve users' well-being, its founder, Alexander Nevrodovsky, is joining us now. This is no mean feat, Alexander, to try and create a wholesome, happy, and positive environment. How are you going about creating such a platform for people to use?
Yeah, thanks a lot for inviting me over. I think the key here is to focus on the right things at the start. And for us, you know, this focus is, first of all, about the general concept, which is we want people to get inspired with ideas and things that they can try in their daily lives, ideally in their real lives. So we have a lot of well-being challenges from, you know, various creators into topics such as personal development, sustainability, you know, various types of activism. And we think that instead of just, you know, typical scrolling that you can do in like Instagram and TikTok and stuff like that, you would benefit from, you know, actually a platform that is like pushing you to, you know, do something about, you know, your own well-being or, you know, the well-being of the people around you. So that's first thing. And I think the second thing is all about the community part of it, which is, yeah, like from the ground up, how do you build the moderation? How do you build the, you know, the community rules in terms of toxicity, for example? So do you tolerate that at all? Or, you know, do you want to focus on, you know, people supporting each other, which is the case for us? And I think that's the main, you know, the main piece that we started with.
Let's talk about some of the challenges that people can meet within Absolutely. The app. So you focus on personal growth, positivity. Let's talk about some of those actions. What are you seeing from the creators who are currently using the app?
Yeah, so I'm one of the creators myself. I do enjoy it a lot. A couple of my challenges include, you know, my morning and evening routines. As a founder, you know, it's super, super stressful, you know, to do, you know, to build companies and stuff like that. So I feel a lot of energy that is sustained and, you know, day in and day out, kind of like repeating of different things, like, you know, having a morning cup of tea, having the same kind of, you know, exercise routine every day, you know, having a comms break before, you know, I go to bed and after I finish work, you know, stuff like that, which are pretty simple, but still, you know, a lot of people don't do that. Another fun thing that we've tried last month was actually Movember, you know, to make sure we kind of like promote, you know, men's health issues by, you know, basically showing, you know, how to grow a mustache and stuff like that. But enough about me. In terms of other creators, we have, for example, a very interesting type of creator for me personally. We have Charlie Monk on the platform, and he shares, you know, things from what he does in his daily life that he, you know, basically got from his time at the monastery. And it was super, super fun for me to tap into this and, you know, try some of those rituals and stuff like that. Yeah, do you want me to go into something specific or?
Well, what would be interesting too is, because obviously when you create a platform, one of the other goals is to focus on continued engagement. So what have been Absolutely. Some of the challenges to date, and how are you tackling trying to ensure that people stay on the platform and actually engage to help keep, you know, this positivity and this growing community going?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. And to be honest, we're only, you know, an early stage startup that's like trying to figure this out. So it's not like we know how to do this. But I think the key here is to treat this not as like one time thing when you just, you know, you just join the platform to try something out and then just, you know, leave it. But instead, treat it as your companion in, you know, in daily life of improvement. So, you know, that's the mission that we have. And that consists of not only, you know, trying to develop some kind of habits that you can try and do day in and day out, but also, you know, just trying something new every weekend or, you know, every couple of days. Another aspect of it is actually helping others. So, you know, a lot of people currently stay on the platform because they enjoy kind of like, you know, giving others some kind of support. I feel like this is like underappreciated a little bit because a lot of us focus a lot on ourselves, but not, you know, too much on others and, you know, trying to show compassion and stuff like that. So I think that's also quite important. And the same goes for creators. We want them to not only like do one thing and then just like, you know, never use OMS again. We want them to be active and, you know, try something every month, hopefully.
One question I have for you. I was reading on TechCrunch that you started this company in the early days of the pandemic.
Yes.
How do you think 2022 is going to change the future of this app, knowing some people are starting to really rethink their goals in general, and many people are getting back to some sort of routine?
Absolutely. I feel like there are two parts to this answer. You know, the first one is about creators. We've only dived into this world of creator economy in 2021 after we've decided to focus more on the social part of things. And we see that there is like an untapped market of experts. So people who know their craft, you know, basically people like you who are, you know, searching for ways to not only, you know, kind of like get more in terms of, you know, ownership and monetization, but also, you know, can like see the real impact that they're making. Because, you know, traditional platforms like Instagram, they're not really built for this, right? You know, if you get 1,000 likes, it doesn't mean that you've like influenced even 100 people and that they actually, you know, went for what you've kind of like asked them to do. So that's one thing. And, you know, the second thing, speaking about, you know, all of us in general, I feel like, you know, people have started to understand that, you know, this, you know, pandemic is like not going away immediately. So, you know, a lot of the things that they were like postponing in terms of, yeah, I'll think about the way I want, you know, what I want to do in my life or, you know, what I want to, you know, try or how I want to improve my well-being, you know, it's not going to happen in itself, right? You need to do something about it. And so it's true that we're seeing a lot of people who come into the app and basically they're searching for some kind of inspiration, right? If I want to change some things, you know, what would they be basically? What can I start with? And I feel like this is, you know, an interesting opportunity that everyone can think about in terms of this shift in people's, you know, attention.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Alexander, we so appreciate you building this platform. It's definitely necessary and timely in terms of people wanting a more positive place online. And we want to encourage people to check out the app at alms.app. And thank you so much for joining us on the feed.
Thanks a lot for inviting. It's an awesome topic to be covering.
Up next, we tell you how to auto-magically create your own social media videos.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Apptastic.
Welcome back to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. It's time now for a look at some new and trending apps. But first up, this Apptastic segment is powered by WW, the award-winning wellness app that gives you the tools you need to make healthier choices. With the app, you gain access to WW's groundbreaking Personal Points program that's tailored specifically to you, making it easier to achieve your goals and sustain them over time. Your food and activity preferences are merged with WW's nutritional algorithm to generate an individualized weight loss and wellness plan. You'll also receive a daily and weekly Personal Points budget with food and activity targets, and it's all driven by cutting-edge nutrition and behavior change science to help you make healthier choices. And speaking of healthier choices, you can add points for practicing healthy behaviors like eating non-starchy vegetables, reaching a daily water goal, and moving more. And in addition to food and activity, the WW app also delivers on two other wellness pillars, mindset and sleep, which are so important. The WW app will help you develop healthy habits that are livable and sustainable, meaning you can continue to enjoy your life while reaching your goals. To download the WW app, head on over to your favorite app store to sign up and start your wellness journey this holiday season and beyond. Okay. So, Michael, we're talking a lot on the show about goals, which is unsurprising that, you know, 2022 is just around the corner. And a lot of people have goals in terms of sustainability. And this first app is called Green Karma. And it's basically a gaming interface that lets you play and collect CO2 cards for various environmental projects. So this will help, again, in terms of having a better understanding about real life emissions, cleaning plastics from the ocean. And apparently you get rewarded with top cryptocurrencies. That's another thing that I saw within this game. So it feels like it's, you know, a good way to keep track of your personal carbon offset and reduce your carbon in general.
Yeah. And I just thought it was a really neat one because it's kind of got that all in one. It's got that gamifying interface. It has linked cryptocurrency, as you mentioned, and the app offers inbuilt wallets from which you can keep a track of the cryptocurrencies received as well. So it makes it very easy and seamless to not only play the game, not only be aware of the impact you're having. But I like that ability that you can use them to reduce real life emissions as well from collecting those CO2 cards within the game. So it's a nice, neat kind of all-in-one, useful and sustainable, very environmentally friendly app. So it's a really neat one, the Green Karma app. Another one in the same vein that we have is Adva, and it's a sustainable lifestyle app and carbon impact tracker that enables you to reduce and offset your CO2 emissions. So staying with that as well. And this is really important, I think. Obviously, we've seen a lot of headlines when it comes to companies trying to be responsible, this also helps everyday people be able to keep track and see what they can do and play their part as well.
Yes, absolutely. Very cool. And I think we're going to see more and more apps in this area that will help people get a better understanding of what impact that individuals can make when it comes to environmental choices. And, you know, I think that it's really going to be fascinating as we go into the next year, just to see how people are taking on a bit of that responsibility and starting to make more conscious choices about what they buy and how they buy. And I feel this is happening, Michael, faster than any of us anticipated. We knew it was going to happen, but all of a sudden, you know, we're hearing about not just people wanting to buy hybrid or electric cars, but, you know, there will be a point in the near future when that's all car companies are making.
100%. And with this app, Adva registers your behavioral insights and gives an estimate of your yearly carbon emissions. So I think that's really critical because, you know, we really don't know exactly, you know, what is our footprint and how it's impacting things. So I think that's really important. Has the app also has personalizes a carbon reduction plan for you as well. And it also helps understand the impact of your lifestyle with an assessment of dietary and mobility choices with its inbuilt GPS tracking, which also allows it to calculate the carbon emission of your transport activities. So it really is quite detailed and really does encompass that entire your entire life from beginning to end to really see just how much of a part you're playing in the impact on the globe.
Absolutely. Okay, so we just have a couple minutes left, and I want to talk a little bit about social media content creation. There is an app that I recently started actually including in my presentations, Michael, called Wibbit. And one of the reasons that I include it is not just because it has a great name.
I love the name.
But also because...
Wibbit?
It uses artificial intelligence and automation to help to essentially stitch together social media videos in minutes without any necessary experience. There's lots of customizable templates. It just makes it simple for anyone. Something that used to cost thousands of dollars can, in fact, be done in a very short amount of time at a very low cost. We're talking, you know, just a few dollars in terms of using the app. And I thought it was interesting recently as well in terms of Wibbit's in the headlines because I thought, you know, this is pretty popular, but no one was really talking about it. But then I read that Vimeo a couple of weeks ago had actually acquired Wibbitz, and they are focusing a bit with this tool on things like shoppable video, so that Vimeo obviously being a large video platform, so that you could shop from within these videos. And I think it's a really cool pairing. And I just want to make sure everybody knows about Wibbitz. Instead of spending a ton of money on social media videos, it's just a quick and affordable way to create your own.
And is it the versatility, the functionality that's the most appealing? Because I know we've talked on the show before, I think it was last week as well, I find it very frustrating when I even just post simple photos to social media. So this sounds like it would be magic when it comes to including video and posting that across social media sites.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of got this WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get interface. And that means that even if you don't have a lot of tech skills, it makes it simple. They have stock images, videos, GIFs, all of those things. So it can help you produce videos of square format, vertical format, landscape format. So it just automates a lot of those things that can be roadblocks for people who aren't video professionals. Listen, I work in a video production environment. There's a reason to hire professionals, but sometimes you just want to put a quick little social media video out there, and that's where Wibbitz can truly help.
Well, some great apps. As we mentioned, we have the Green Karma app, Adva, and then Wibbitz. So of course, if you've got an app, gadget, or product you think we should check out, tweet us at Amber Mac and at AmBancroft80. And of course, use the hashtag #TheFeed. Coming up, we meet the creator of the world's first humanoid robot artist.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. In the spotlight.
You're listening to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. Now, when we think about robots and how far the technology has advanced, we tend to focus on how human-like they are. But instead, what if we were to look at how robotic human beings are? It's an interesting question, and to help answer it, Aidan Meller is the creator behind Ada, which is the world's first ultra-realistic humanoid robot artist. He's joining us now. This is such a fascinating topic and also just such an amazing creation. Let's start with the project itself. What was the catalyst? What was the reason behind creating this robot that has such artistic talent?
Hello there. Thank you. No, it's a fascinating area. Basically, I've been in the art business a very long time. I've had a gallery for over 20 years. And it was while with the greatest artists of all, Picasso, Matisse, Chagall, and even the old, you know, even some of the older, more representational works like Turner or Constable, I asked the question, what was it about their lives that made them do such remarkable art? The answer was very clear. They engaged with the underlying issues of society that people felt very uncomfortable with. So it was on that note that I thought, well, what for the 2020s is really changing society? What is really grabbing people and but very uncomfortable with it? What's the undercurrent of the things in society today? A huge amount of reading later, and I started ever realizing that it was actually AI. AI was going to morph society more than any other thing as a force. And I realized that the contemporary art world wasn't really addressing this. And it was while I was playing Lego with my son, he made a little robot. I just thought, you know what? Is it possible? Are we at the technological stage where we could create an AI robot that made AI artworks that critiqued actually the rise of this incredible force of artificial intelligence or machine learning? And with that, I had the bravery to go ahead and put together a remarkable team around Oxford, international team, but based in Oxford. And slowly but surely, the project came together. And after an excruciatingly challenging period, we were able to devise Ada robot.
It's pretty incredible. I'm just reading on The Guardian some of this poetry, and I'm going to read a couple of lines. We looked up from our verses like blindfolded captives, sent out to seek the light, but it never came. A needle and thread would be necessary for the completion of the picture, to view the poor creatures who were in misery, that of a hawk, eyes sewn shut. So tell us, How does this poetry come to be?
Each time we do anything with Ada, we're looking and questioning the nature of technology itself, critiquing technology, asking the questions that are uncomfortable. So we're not here to promote robots or technology. Let's be really clear on that. In actual fact, it's an ethical project. We're trying to raise discussion in society that really tackles the morphing of society by technology. And the 2020s is going to definitely be hallmarked by the rise of extraordinary technology. So we had an opportunity by Professor Gervais Rossa from the University of Oxford, who was putting together a show based on the 700th anniversary of Dante, his remarkable Divine Comedy, written over 700 years ago in Italy, of course. And he asked whether our robot could respond to that. So we looked at language itself, using her individual unique voice, using a language model. We got Ada to respond to the Divine Comedy. And from that, she then wrote her own poetry in response. But of course, this is very, very significant. In fact, we made history at the Ashmolean Museum here in Oxford, because what it does, it changes the mean-making of the language itself. When a conscious being, a writer, writes to their reader, another conscious being, there is an intention and a connection and an engagement. What happens then when one of those is not conscious, not sentient, in actual fact, are just discovering patterns within language to be able to do this remarkable writing? In fact, could we go further? What happens when the work is emotional from a machine? And so as a response to that, the press have gone pretty crazy over it this last few days, because they're really saying, oh, my goodness, we are going to go into this world where machines can build relationships with us and respond to us. And our question is, what does that society look like? What are the implications for writers? How does that affect the whole language making on the internet and for journalism, for writing, for books, the whole thing? And so we're hoping that this will really engender a major discussion of where this technology is going to take us.
It's a big question where exactly it is going to take. Speaking of critiquing technology and the morphing of technology, which you touched on, and as I alluded to off the top of how we think about robotics, Aidan, can you explain the nuance of looking at how robotic human beings are as opposed to evaluating robots based on how lifelike they are?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the uncomfortable realizations we've had doing this project with so many experts is we're very much creating a robot that imitates humans, that basically has. And so you're always looking at seeing how far robotics has gone in relationship to a human. In actual fact, what's actually happened is the exact reverse of that. The more time we spend with Ada, we're realizing how robotic we are as humans. And in actual fact, Yuval Harari has got this incredible documentary on the internet, which is called Hacking the Human, where looking at the algorithms of a human, how we are actually creatures of nature, creatures of habits, and in actual fact are quite repetitive. And so in light of artificial intelligence, we're going to be able to get an incredible insight into being human. So rather than just looking at robots becoming human, we're going to be looking at how robotic humans are, which is very unsettling in actual fact.
It is pretty incredible. And I know a lot of people who are listening are probably interested in learning more about what you and your team are doing. So for people who want to get a glimpse of this work, where's the best place for them to go online?
I think if you would like, we do a newsletter. If you just send us an email on the Ada robot website, ai-darobot.com. If you go there and email us, we'll be happy to put you on that mailing list. But also just to follow us in the press, on YouTube, on social media, all of the usual tags, Ada Robot at Instagram or Facebook or whatever you want, and you'll be able to follow what she's doing. But we are, as I say, as a program, as a project, really trying to pioneer and understand this technology, but mirror it back at each stage.
Very cool. Well, listen, we so appreciate you joining us and taking the time to chat about this on the feed.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Up next, Mark Saltzman joins us to talk about some top tech for the holidays.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Power Friend.
Welcome back to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. Just in time for the holidays, we have lots of tech that we are talking about this December, and we are so excited to have tech expert Mark Saltzman back on the show to talk about some of his top tech gift ideas. Mark, I feel like we can just let you run with this. We're going to start with an affordable phone, and this price is incredible.
Yeah, for only $150 outright, like that's not like the contract price, is the ZTE or ZTE, perhaps, if you're listening to this south of the border, the Blade A7P. So this is a 6.5-inch Android device that, again, will not break the bank. And it really impresses. I've been playing around with it for about 2 weeks. It's got a full 2-day battery. Like, no matter what you're doing on it, I'm noticing, I'm like watching videos, I'm playing games with stuff I've downloaded from the Play Store, and it barely moves a notch down in the little icon of the battery at the top. It's got an HD plus display, great audio, very little bezel. It gets pretty much borderless, you know, just one little sort of notch for the camera, not even a notch, just a little camera pinhole. And it runs on the latest Android 11 OS. So really a lot to like for a price that, again, is especially with what many have gone through over the past couple of years, a welcomed price at $150 for the ZTE Blade A7P. You can check it out at ZTECanada.com or carriers in Canada like Rogers and Telus also sell it directly.
And the next couple you've got are for those people that love screen time. So what about for the gamers in the family and for those people that just like to sit back and relax and watch some TV?
Yeah. So for gamers, whether you're playing at home or in the backseat of a car, maybe you're traveling to visit family over the holidays, and for kids and kids at heart, is the Nintendo Switch. It's not brand new this year, but definitely still cranking out amazing games, both from Nintendo, like Big Brain Academy, Brain versus Brain, which is really fun, as well as, of course, so many third-party games from all the big game publishers out there. So a lot of bang for your buck on that, too, because I like the versatility of being able to play on the go. And then when you get home, you can dock your Nintendo Switch and play on a big screen TV with most of the games. You just take out the Joy-Con controllers off out of the side and you can play head-to-head. So that game, by the way, Big Brain Academy, which is $39, is a lot of fun. You can play up to 4 people together or online. And it's kind of like little quizzes and just ways to test your sort of cognitive abilities. You know, you could see identifying an animal quickly or running through a maze and all that really fun stuff. It's for those, remember those brain games from years ago on the Game Boy? So this is kind of like the resurgence of that. And then the Nintendo Switch is $379. And there's also, of course, the OLED version, if you can find that too, with an even better screen. But I really love even just the regular Nintendo Switch is great. Yeah. And then for, if you want a game on a laptop, the LG Gram family, as you likely know, as the name suggests as well, the lightest laptops in the world, according to Guinness. So super light, yet really powerful laptops for both work and play. They're saying that the 17-inch model was not recognized by Guinness as the lightest in the world. There's also a 16-inch 2-in-1. So it can convert from a laptop to a tablet on a 360-degree hinge and use your fingertips, of course, if you like, or a stylus if you prefer. Up to 22 hours of battery life on a laptop, which is crazy, 22 and a half hours, amazing. And then powered by the Intel Evo platform. That's a little badge or sticker that you may see in the corner of the laptop that essentially verifies that it meets all the Intel criteria for instant startup times, long battery life, a fast processor, Wi-Fi 6 connectivity for faster Wi-Fi. And prices start at $1,500 for the LG Gram family.
All right. We have an LG Gram. Absolutely love it. Another thing that I do love is waterproof speakers. I mean, I think every speaker should be waterproof. So let's walk us through this next pick from Best Buy Canada.
Yeah. So, and whether you're listening indoors or outdoors, a very powerful Bluetooth speaker is awesome. And there is a Sony XB43 extra bass Bluetooth speaker at Best Buy for $349. It does sound fantastic. I mean, I would put Sony's audio gear up against any other company. I've always been a fan, not just of their optics in their cameras and in their phones, but also in, again, the audio department. Really great sounding audio. 24 hours of battery life powering this thing that has two tweeters and built-in sub. So really well-balanced audio as well. So for your lows, mids, and highs. It is IP67 rated, so that means it is waterproof. In fact, you can even dunk it up to 1.5 meters underwater, and it'll be completely fine should it fall off a boat. I don't know where you would need to submerge it and fall into the tub. I don't know. But nonetheless, it sounds great. It's super durable. So it's $349 for this this loud speaker for indoors or outdoors. Yeah.
I think if it goes in the ocean, it's probably not coming back. Let's round it out for these last two great gifts for capturing memories and being able to share them with everyone as well.
Yeah, thanks. So the Kitty Zoom print cam is really fun for kids. That's from VTech. This is one of those cameras that can print out the photos right away, but it has a bit of a twist. So it does have a 2.5-inch color screen that lets you print the photos. Lets you see the photos, but then you can print them out in black and white and color them in and have a lot of fun. There's like over 100 customizable templates that are built into the camera itself. You could fix up the photos, and it shoots video as well, by the way, but you could add some fun stamps and effects. And then when you do print it out, you color it in. There's even games you can play on the back of that screen, but it is a camera first and foremost. And, there's like up to 80 images per roll that you get with the camera. And then you can buy more if you like after, but really great. It's about $93 for our kids. Having a lot of fun with those printable puzzles as well as photos and more. And then finally, speaking of printing and scanning, if you do have, like me, shoeboxes of paper photos and albums, photo albums that you haven't yet digitized, the Epson Fast Photo 680W is a wireless high-speed photo scanner. So it can do one photo per second. You load up the tray, the input tray, with even over 30 photos, and it'll just like blast through them and digitizes them, even front and back, if you like, by the way. If you have somebody wrote something sentimental on the back of the photos, you want to capture that and digitize that as well. And then you can easily tag them to find them later. There's a app support. Again, it's wireless, but you can connect it to your computer, or just use an app to manage all this. But I love that you're digitizing, perhaps a lifetime's worth of memories for future generations. So that's the Fast Photo. It's about $799 for that Epson Fast Photo 680W.
Very cool. So many great picks on your list. We do want to encourage people as well to follow you on Twitter. You can follow Mark at Mark_Saltzman. And Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the feed, and always love your tech picks.
Oh, thanks, Amber. Thanks, Michael. Always great to be here too. Thanks.
Up next, the science behind building healthier habits.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Socially Speaking.
It's time now for Socially Speaking. And before we get into the science behind healthy habits, I wanted to share a cybersecurity tip that is brought to you by Norton. Now, it sounds nice to do your holiday shopping at a coffee shop, sipping a warm drink while holiday music plays in the background. But shopping online from your laptop, tablet, or phone while connected to public Wi-Fi can open the door to hackers. Public Wi-Fi connections are often unencrypted and unsecured, leaving you vulnerable. Now, a scammer can more easily grab your name, address, credit card number, and other personal information you send and receive when you are on public Wi-Fi. But there is a way to protect yourself. When you shop on public Wi-Fi or even share photos with your family and friends, you want to use a virtual private network, or VPN for short. A VPN masks your personal information that you send and receive by creating a tunnel that allows you to transmit your encrypted data more securely. It makes your data illegible to cyber criminals, and Norton 360 can make it easy to stay protected on public Wi-Fi because it includes a VPN. Now, no one can prevent all cybercrime or identity theft, but Norton 360 is what I trust to help protect my devices and my family's devices against scammers and other cyber threats. For more information, you can visit Staples in-store or online. Okay, so cybersecurity is part of creating healthy habits, and we are also going to dive a little further into this topic, Michael and Aaron, and talk a bit about the science behind healthy habits. I send out a newsletter every Tuesday, and I'm always super curious to see the top articles, and this was one of those picks, and it's from CTV News, and they did this great article on the science behind staying healthy and how to accomplish certain goals. So we know more and more people are starting to set goals, and there are some ideas here to get started. The first one is set a specific goal. Now, you may say, okay, that's pretty obvious, but I thought it was interesting that they said, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to exercise more. And based on research, what they found is that you have to be really specific with your goal. So maybe you say you're going to walk 10,000 steps or meditate for 15 minutes a day. Aaron, I'm going to come over to you with this one. When you want to set a goal, do you get super specific with it? How do you actually achieve that?
I try to start small in manageable small sections. And then if I achieve that, like if it's a repetition, let's say I want to ride my bike 3 times a week. Like you said, I rather than saying I want to ride my bike more. Well, more is very nebulous. More doesn't mean anything. But yeah, I try to set smaller goals, then reach that plateau, and then the next one, and the next one. Because the other, and we might get into this in a moment, the other danger is setting a goal that's too high. If you set the bar too high, you're setting yourself up to fail, and then it's harder to restart to tackle that goal again. So yeah, small steps, small goals, and then plateau, and then increase, and then plateau.
I think it's a good point. Michael, what about you? What kind of resonated with you from this list? And don't pretend you don't have goals, because I know you're going to the gym all the time, and I know you're self-improvement.
You know me so well. So you were like, you were trying to work out was I going to go, which way I was going to go, basically. Okay, in fairness, I looked at the list, and I actually do 4 of the 5 of these things exceptionally well. And I agree, and I'm glad we're actually covering this topic. But before I get into that, Amber Mack, where can people sign up to your newsletter, which you hinted at the top and didn't tell anybody where they can go? Because it is a fantastic place to get a lot of information every week.
It's just ambermack.com/newsletter. And I will say that I feel like my newsletter is like a tech journal in the sense that it's as much to help me stay on top of the latest tech, and we have a great team who helps put it together, but it really is kind of the highlights and the things that are happening that week that are important. And this one kind of stuck with me because every time I share anything, Michael, about healthy habits or fitness, foods to eat that will keep you sharper, people just love that content, especially coming into the new year.
100%. And specific goals are very important, and they can be very, very small, or they can be quite large. What I think you have to be careful of is giving yourself a time frame that's realistic. And when you go through these different steps, it is important to ensure that you tell the right people that you are doing activities that you genuinely want to do rather than have to do. And you can make yourself want to do something that used to be a have to. And what I mean by that is, I've always, when it comes to work, for example, when I think that it's too much, I have too much going on, it's overwhelming, I break it down into little pieces. And I write, I'm a list maker, and I set, if I'm not having a good day, and I will look at these 2 or 3 things that I will do and accomplish. And then I set that goal every day to do X amount of hours on the task that I don't like. And then that becomes a habit. And then I start to knock them off the list. And then I feel better because it frees up my day to go and do things that I enjoy. I'm not as fit as I would like to be. So I now, even if it's only, I make sure that I am running every day for 20 minutes on a treadmill. I do that even when I don't feel like I want to. And I check that off my list. And after a couple of weeks, I feel better and I actually enjoy going to the gym, and it helps me declutter my mind. So I think that very specific goals are very important. And I think that's the key.
I think you're right. I mean, very specific. You know, one of the things they have on this list is that they say you should make it fun to repeat these things. And I'm trying to wrap my head around fun and exercise. Aaron, you mentioned biking. So do you think, does fun have a place in your goal setting?
Definitely. I have my favorite routes. And then if I switch up the route, then sometimes that's fun to experience a new place or new part of my city. Sometimes I will know that a route is very picturesque. And I say, okay, when I get to the end of my route, I'll do a bunch of Instagram stories. And then that's fun, is capturing the angles and doing the filters and doing the stories. And sometimes even I will bike someplace I know that has a great coffee shop or snacks or a brewery. And that becomes exercise.
So you're a reward guy. You're a reward guy.
Sometimes. I do acknowledge that sometimes biking is its own reward, and I don't do any of those things. I don't get a coffee or a beer or do Instagram stories or do anything, and the trip is its own reward. But sometimes, to break it up, the rewards are the little fun icing on the biking cake.
It's interesting, too, I think. They also mention get the right kind of social support, and I think that's really key. Years ago, I decided to run a marathon. I wasn't really a runner, so you can only imagine that was kind of a lofty goal. But I did it with my roommate, and she is a therapist. So you can imagine training at 6:30 in the morning with someone who listens to people talk for a living. I mean, she was like the best kind of social support you can imagine. Michael, I know you're sometimes, I don't want to say alone a lot, but are you finding, does it make it easier for you when you're setting these goals, when you have people around you?
It depends. I actually am, in fairness, my own best support when I break down what's working, what's not. And then I kind of work out where I want to get. And I'm quite competitive with myself. And so I've found that's actually quite useful. There is one goal or a couple of goals where I will share it with people. And they're not cheerleaders. And that's not, this article says this, they're not cheerleaders per se. They're people that that are interested, or they can actually help or add a positive or a benefit to what you're trying to achieve. So for example, if I'm putting together a pitch, I might talk to somebody else that I know can relate or help give me their opinion on something or bounce the idea off. Or if I did something that I was really pleased with, I will tell someone that I know could understand. And so it's more that than, oh, you can do it, or like a trainer, if it's an exercise, for example, yelling at you like 10 more. It's not that. So I think that's really important. The one that I actually love and resonated the most with me out of these five is the fostering flexibility. And I think that's very important. So, and I think you have to be very flexible and very kind to yourself when you're setting goals and trying to achieve them. And it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly the same time every single day. So I think flexibility building into your routine is helpful, because you don't want to get into an autopilot or start to it become monotonous and then it not be fun and then you break your habit.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So we do have to wrap up, but set a specific goal, create a detailed cue-based plan, make it fun to repeat, foster flexibility, find the right kind of social support. All those things are so important. This was really actually quite a nice conversation at the end of the show. And thanks, guys, for sharing everything with us. You can find us online at Amber Mack and at mbancroft80. Aaron, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at my name, Aaron Papernick, Aaron with one A, on Instagram, Paperboy416 for biking pictures.
and of course, use the hashtag The Feed.
It is The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B on SiriusXM Canada Talks, channel 167.